Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain, my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day into the world of theater and the arts. And what a fun one we're going to be talking about today, because this is something that may be bringing memories back for you, depending on what movies you saw as an adult, as a kid, depending on your age now. Let's talk about it, because Back to the Future is coming. Well, not Back to Chicago, Back to the Future is coming to Chicago. Been on Broadway. This is just such a beloved story. And you get to meet the two critical stars of this show, as we say right now. Playing Marty McFly, that would have been the Michael J. Fox role that you remember from the movie, is Caden Brausch. And Caden, we're going to talk to you in a second because your career is like already lighting up. And Don Stevenson, who plays Doc Brown. Yeah, the Christopher Lloyd role in the movie. Now, I know I'm being unfair to you already because I'm now tying you to these actors that played the role, and we'll come back out of that. But I just wanted our viewers and our listeners to make that connection to what we were talking about. So Back to the Future. Don, I'm going to start with you because, you know, when I looked at your resume, which is quite an amazing one, everything from The Producers, A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, Dracula, all sorts of things. And you were in Wonderful Town. I'm curious whether you were appeared with my friend Greg Ellman, who I went to school with, in that rendition of Wonderful Town.
I wasn't in that version of Wonderful Town. I did it at New York City Opera, but I've known Greg for years, and we're old friends. And we did a recording years ago at Abbey Road Studios of Guys and Dolls in London. He played Sky, and I played Nicely. We just did it was a recording, so we weren't actually doing the show, but we've spent a lot of time together.
I love it. Well, we were in West Side Story together. It was his Tony to my riff.
Perfect.
And played so against Sam.
You must be a very good dancer.
He was. No. And we also played against Sam, where it was his Humphrey Bogart to my Woody Allen. So we go way back. I just saw him. I went to see Water for Elephants, went backstage, visited with Greg. Anyway, Caden doesn't care. So let's. We're gonna talk about, but I'll tell him that we're talking today. But anyway, your background is amazing. But here's what I wanted to ask you, because you are also a director, and I'm sort of curious: do you see yourself as a director first or a performer first?
Well, usually I want to do whatever I'm not doing at the time. So I need deep therapy to try to help me through this, because if I'm acting, I wish I was directing. And if I'm directing, I wish I was acting and somebody would just tell me what to do. So I never know. I don't know. That's it. Whichever one I'm doing, I wish I was doing the opposite, which is like most people. When it's hot, you wish it was cooler. And when it's cooler, you wish the sun would come out. So I don't know. I guess I'm just a malcontent.
Sounds like you should become Jerry Lewis, direct, produce, act, do the whole thing in one.
Kay, that's right.
This is your national tour debut, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I know you grew up in the Seattle area. You like came right out of school, the acting conservatory there, Schreiber's Acting Conservatory, and you get the lead in Back to the Future. How does this happen?
I don't know. It's been such a crazy journey. But yeah, I mean, you say right out of the gate, that's very generous. I was auditioning for, I moved to New York like 3 years ago and did the acting conservatory. And then
in acting terms, that's overnight though.
Yeah. I am very aware that it is very quick and I just feel very, very lucky, very grateful for this. It's, and for this show, like it's so fun and, just such a blast to do every night. So,
and by the way, let me just begin by asking you, in terms of this role, you know, look, I'm assuming everybody knows Back to the Future, but what do I know? So tell us a little bit about the story for those who don't know. And by the way, opening night of the show, which will be August 13th. There's going to be a DeLorean out in front of the theater for those people who are there for that. I mean, maybe that, does that kind of travel with you? Is that a thing?
We've had DeLoreans for the opening nights in a few places, yeah. And I actually, in our last stop at Charlotte, I got to ride in a one that drives, you know, not just one.
So it's actually it's a workable thing.
Some of them are, yeah. Some of them are a little too old.
All right. Well, if it doesn't work, when you come to Chicago, I'll drive you around in my Mini Cooper.
Great.
But anyway, so for folks who don't know this story, what is the story of Back to the Future?
Yeah, it's a story. I play Marty McFly. He's a 17-year-old kid whose best friend, played by Don, is Doc Brown, and we get up into some trouble there, and I end up traveling back in time to 1955, where
You just said that phrase and already got music going in my head, but go ahead.
And we have the cool thing about the show is we have the score kind of playing throughout, so you'll recognize a lot of this iconic soundtrack. But I end up meeting and interacting with my parents back when they were my age, and I might screw some things up that Doc has to then help me fix and go back to the future, as it were, but also have to get my parents back together and navigate all the roadblocks we come across along the way.
Did you, I mean, you're a relatively young guy. I mean, did you see this movie as a kid? Was this a new project for you?
No. My parents did a very good job of educating me. I don't even remember the first time I saw it. It was just kind of part of the zeitgeist. But I do remember the most recent time I saw it was during quarantine. There was a park near my house that was doing like a drive-in movie thing, and me and a friend of mine got to go see it, and I just remember it like it was playing through our car, and we left, and I was like, God, it's just the best movie. And like 2, 3 years later, like here I am, and
Yeah.
it's been as wild a ride as time traveling in a DeLorean is.
And oftentimes, I mean, I think in the Marty McFly role on Broadway and as it travels, it's been Broadway's chance and theater's chance to give young people a sort of an opportunity. For you, Don, if my memory is correct, it was Roger Bart who played this role at first on Broadway, and did I Love Roger. And of course, he was in the Producers too. You guys have like a parallel paths here.
Yes, we do. It seems like these producer guys are they're what's called for Back to the Future. I mean, the great Bob Gale, who is one of the co-creators for Back to the Future, he famously tells the story of the inspiration for the idea is he was flipping through his father's high school yearbook, and he sees a picture of his dad, and he's like, "Huh, I wonder what he was like back then." And through that little kernel of an idea comes this entire amazing franchise that Bob has spearheaded for all of these years. And I mean, I think you could make an argument that Back to the Future is the greatest time travel story ever done. I mean, there's a lot of good ones, but Back to the Future is certainly at the top and maybe the very tip top. And it's an amazing story. And it also has heart. Like, it's got some sci-fi, it's got some action, it's got some comedy, it's got a little romance, but it also has the heart, I think. And that's the main thing why it has people coming back to it all these years is because the kernel of the story is the love that you have for your parents and the love that you have for your friends keeps people interested. I think if it didn't have that, it would just be a really fun sort of snazzy movie. But it's got that heartbeat inside of it. Marty and Doc's friendship and mentorship, and then the way that Marty learns about his parents and the closeness he develops with his father. Those are my favorite things about the show, or all the things between Marty and George are the ones that I really love.
Oh yeah. And when I was a kid, there was a show called Time Tunnel, where they would go back. I mean, that's what the show was about and stuff. But I can remember back then they would go to Lincoln's assassination, and as a little kid, you'd watch and say, "Wait, maybe you can keep him from getting
Sure.
assassinated." it never worked out. But yeah, that notion. I mean, everybody to be able to go back in your own lives and to be able to see our parents when they were young, and that it's sort of amazing. So you mentioned the music, so I have to ask you because there's several movies that have been brought to the stage: Pretty Woman, Tootsie, so many of those. And of course, in the movie, there's often some iconic numbers. The favorite thing that I remember was in Pretty Woman. You'd say, well, of course they sang the song Pretty Woman. No, not initially they didn't. They couldn't get the rights. And so in the first tour, you didn't hear the song you like wanted to hear. But you kind of came indicated that for those people who remember some of the Huey Lewis numbers that are in this number, among other things, we're going to be able to get that.
You're going to get those because we have all the Huey Lewis songs, the famous Huey Lewis songs. And obviously, we have Johnny B. Goode, which is very famously used in the movie. Marty has to step in and play the guitar part for Johnny B. Goode. And we have all of those. And then, of course, we have Alan Silvestri and Glenn Ballard have done the score of brand new songs. And I mean, I would think that in many ways, the movie was edging towards being a musical already because there's so much music in it. And so Alan and Glenn have fleshed all of that out. And of course, Alan did the score for the movie. And you hear those famous themes all the way through, adapted many different ways. And it's really, really fun. And the great thing about it is, when, you know, in musicals, as I'm sure you know, when the characters are so emotional, they have to sing. And the great thing about Doc and Marty's situation in the show is everything is an emergency. I told Bob when we were in rehearsals, I said, every line has an exclamation point at the end of my sentence. Every line, exclamation point.
Right.
So Doc is always in an emergency. He's always in a crisis with Marty that has to be figured out, or he's always having a brand new idea. And it's always these eureka moments. So it's a high level of energy. But what that does is it lends itself to singing because they're already completely at the end of their rope. And usually that's when people sing and it all makes sense. And so that's how I think it lends itself to being musicalized so well.
Was Huey Lewis involved in this, by the way?
Pardon?
Was Huey Lewis involved in this at all? Because I know he's very involved in doing
well,
his own.
I know he was at the opening night. You know, he had his own show sort of going this past season.
Which I by the way, I saw that. I thought it was a great show. I mean, just horrible that it closed because it was great.
Yeah, very a feel good musical, I remember. So I believe that Huey was involved and gave his full blessing. He was at the opening night, I believe, on Broadway, and he and Bob are good friends. So I know that he was all in. I mean, he's such his songs are such a part of fabric of the movie that you want to have them, and they're great.
Do you like the traveling thing? Because you've been on Broadway and stuff, so I'm sort of curious, which is, you know, there are those who think this is the toughest life in the world as you travel the country, and then there's those who say, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, people go on both sides. I don't enjoy the traveling so much, the actual getting in the airport and the check-in and all of those things. But once I'm there, I enjoy being in the different cities. I love history. I like to see whatever the town has to offer. And it is fun to play to a different theater and a different part of the country. It's funny because, you know, you'll see audiences sort of shift about what they think is funny and what they don't think is as funny. From town to town, it's interesting. And I've never really played Chicago as an actor. This will be the first time. It's sort of amazing. I've directed a couple of shows at the Marriott in Chicago, but this is my first time really being there as an actor.
Don, let me ask you, is it when you're doing something iconic like this, like Back to the Future, which the whole world knows, that puts a challenge on you? A challenge on the production, too. We'll talk about that in terms of special effects. But when you get on and have to perform a Christopher Lloyd role, do you get on there and say, yes, I get it? Or do you say, no, this is about Don Stevenson doing this?
It's an interesting needle to thread and one that I've never had to do before. Obviously, you have to make it your own as an actor because you want to be able to listen and respond and bring your own sensibilities to the part. But we all know Christopher Lloyd. We all know the movie, and that's iconic. And so I do try to pay homage to that. Christopher Lloyd, I think, is brilliant in everything, but certainly Back to the Future. He has a sort of certain cadence to his voice and a certain wide eye. The great thing that I've learned about the part is, and I think that what Chris Lloyd does so brilliantly is that he keeps his childlike wonder about everything. Doc is innocent. And Doc is excited like a kid doing a science experiment. And even though he's not, you know, a young man anymore, he has that sensibility, the childlike wonder. And so when I watched the movie, that's the main thing that I got out of it, was to keep that innocence, because I thought that he did that so brilliantly. And so I wanted to do that too. But you do got to, you have to bring yourself to it. Otherwise, it won't be alive and breathing and all of those kind of things. And you want it to be happening fresh. I think one of the interesting things about the show is that even though all of us have to pay homage to the actors that did it before, we all bring our own points of view and our own ideas to it. And we were really encouraged to do that by Bob. Bob Gale was in rehearsals with us the entire time, writing lines for all of us, new lines. And of course, John Rando encouraging us to not do imitations, because it's not an imitation. It's a piece of theater. And I think even if you don't know the movie, people come and they see the show and they've never seen the movie and they can't wait to see what's going to happen next. And so it works whether you've seen the movie or whether you haven't seen the movie. It works equally well. And it's amazing. We see there was a guy, I had his 9-year-old son dressed completely as Marty, and he was dressed as Doc, waiting outside the theater. And we see it all the time, and it's so cute. I saw a woman who was dressed as Doc Brown. And so it's in the fabric of American culture, maybe the world culture. It's in people's lives, and they really, really, it means something to them. And so it means something to us too.
I'm coming as Mrs. McFly. So, you
perfect.
Know, that,
my favorite.
That's what I want to do. So, Caden, you know, just as Don has to step into this role where, you know, Christopher Lloyd made it iconic, it's even tougher for you because, I mean, this is a tough question, but the world loves Michael J. Fox. And, yeah. And you know that when you walk on stage, everybody has him in their mind. Is that a challenge? Is it a good thing? What do you do with that expectation?
Yeah, it was definitely some big shoes to fill walking into the room. But I think it really helped with our director, John Rando. Like on the first day, he said, you know, guys, we're not like this production I want to be its own. And we're not trying to be the Broadway production, but we're also not trying to be Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd. You know, like we're going to make it our own thing. And of course, there are these moments that, you know, I am aware of how much the audience, because like when I saw it on Broadway, I would hear these people quoting along to these iconic lines. And of course, there are these certain moments that you kind of have to give those people what they want. But that just feels like an honor to me, to like be the one that's mic'd up saying it along with everyone else in their seat who's just kind of whispering it to themselves. But yeah, I think just through the rehearsal process and through you know, building the chemistry and the connections with Don and with all of the rest of our cast members, we've really made it our own in a way that still, I think, audiences will see the things they love and then also get to see something new or some things that are new and really exciting.
So when you watched the movie, was this, given what you just said, was it a process of saying, I want to put that out of my mind, I think I won't watch that for a while? Or do you say, I'm going to watch it and let me see what I can embrace?
I mean, I have not watched it since we've started. But I did watch it pretty close to the start of rehearsals, just to be like, you know, kind of some final like mental notes of what to get down and what things I think of as the iconic moments and stuff. But yeah, now letting it be, you know, our own version that still, you know, I hope audiences will see, you know, pays the utmost respect to all of them who did it in the movie.
And Don and I were talking, of course, you know, about, you know, Broadway versus being on the road. You're a little earlier in your career, so you're in the on the road world.
yeah.
Are you enjoying the tour? I mean, there's some folks who say, oh, my God, 5 days here or 2 weeks here. I mean, at least you come to Chicago and you're here for a couple of weeks till September 1st. Are you enjoying being on the road and seeing the country, or would you rather just put me on Broadway? Let me sit there.
I mean, I wouldn't say no, but no, I absolutely love traveling. That's always been Kind of like what Don was saying with directing and performing, that's kind of my other love. And you know, if I get a chance to travel, I do miss performing. And when I'm performing, some part of me is thinking about like, oh, I wish I could, you know, be out in the world and seeing these new places. That's one of my favorite things. So, to have this job that is to do both every day is like, one of the most special things I could think of.
Now, I'm going to set you up for what should be an easy question, but we'll see what you say. Don, I'll start with you. And
Ooh.
it's about the Chicago audiences. You know, as you know, this is the home of world premieres. Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, which when you're here, if you get a chance to see that, have you heard about that with Jay Harrison, G?
Indeed, I know Tom Hewitt and Rob Ashford and Jason Robert Brown very well, all of them.
Well, check out an earlier podcast. I interviewed Tom and Austin Colby, and that just went up this past
Sure.
week. But anyway, but the thing is, you know, when they as they travel, the people talk about the difference between the New York Broadway audience is one thing. There's the Chicago and other audiences. Maybe Kane, you're used to Seattle. What do you find special about Chicago audiences, Don? Because most people say this is where they learn how to even to work on a show, to develop a show.
I think they're very smart and very savvy. I guess I don't know why that is. Maybe it's being in the middle of the country. It's not the West Coast. It's not the East Coast. It's right there in the middle. And they have the best of both worlds. I know from directing a couple of shows in Chicago that they were very, very quick-witted and sharp. They love humor. They love a fast pace. But obviously, with Steppenwolf and the Goodman and Wisdom Bridge and all those, Porchlight, all of those theaters in Chicago, they're the backbone of America. Look at all of the wonderful actors and the wonderful plays that have come out of Chicago theater. It's mind-blowing, from David Mamet and on and on and on. Oh, I'm blanking his
Tracy
name.
Letts,
Tracy Letts, thank you.
Laurie
Tracy
Metcalf, who is just appearing here now as well.
of
Another thing you
course.
should see, Caden.
And when I've been in Chicago before, I've gone and seen shows at Steppenwolf because they are iconic, and I wanted to go see what it all was. So I love the Chicago audiences and think that they're very, very smart. And I think it'll be really, really fun for them to see our show. The producers of this show could not wait to get it out to America, Back to the Future, because they thought America is going to love this, maybe even more than London, maybe even more than Broadway. To get to take our show out and let everybody in the country see it is really, really fun, because Back to the Future is for everybody.
By the way, Don, am I right? Back to the Future did get shut down because of COVID, right? I think it was playing. I was going to see it, and I didn't. It
They
was
were
COVID.
well. They were in Manchester trying it out in England when the pandemic sort of hit and everybody ran for the hills. So it was shut down before they could even get it to
Okay.
the West End. I think it was in that time period there.
Gotcha. And Caden, is this your first? Have you been to Chicago? Is this going to be your first experience? I'm guessing in front of Chicago audiences before, but do you need help with food?
I am always begging for recommendations of good places to eat. But no, not my first time. I actually went to college for 1 year in Chicago, and then the pandemic hit, and my path sort of shifted. But while I was there, I saw I think one show at Steppenwolf, and I saw a couple other shows. And one of the touring productions that came through, and so to be returning at now as a performer, is really I'm so excited to be back in Chicago and to be up there on the stage.
Anybody watching just said, wait, where did you go to school? Where did you go when you were here?
I went to Roosevelt University for a year.
Which means you got to hang around the auditorium theater quite a bit.
I did the big ones usually reserved for the musicians. They kind of keep the actors separate from
Well,
that, but
I didn't mean to. Yeah, I just meant to go in there because it's in an unbelievable space, as I'm sure
oh,
Don.
it was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So, Don, talk to me about the special effects, because the movie is full of them. And You know, this is staged. Some would argue it's got to be more difficult, but my guess is we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
You can't believe what you're seeing. It's unbelievable. I still can't believe what I'm seeing. We don't hold back, and the audience certainly gets their money's worth with Back to the Future. We have a DeLorean, which is our other co-star, Kaden and my co-star, on stage with us. And we go back to the future and back and forth and all around in the DeLorean, just as you see in the movie. And I don't want to give it away because a magician would never give away their tricks. But you will not be disappointed, I would say. Kaden, what else would we say to that?
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's really incredible being the one who you know, gets to sit in that DeLorean and drive, and
that one's a proppy one, right? Not one of the real ones we'll see out front.
Yeah, it's different from the one you'll see out front. But it's really special, and you know, to when I first travel back to the past, to get out of that car again and hear the audience kind of like the cheers, or like, you know, the applause starts with a little kind of tepidness of like, what did we just see? And then like they're like, that was like, you feel it grow as the audience like really, you know, it really takes it all in and processes what we're able to do touring on a stage, which I think is really special.
You know, when you
I stand on the DeLorean, I stand on the DeLorean, I sit on the DeLorean, we both get in the DeLorean, I dance on the DeLorean. What else do we do on the DeLorean, Kaden? We hold hands quietly inside the DeLorean.
Sure,
we've done it again. That's our little secret. And don't tell anyone.
Well, it's a secret no more because you just told everybody.
No,
you
this
can cut
live,
that part out, Paul.
Yeah.
You cut that part out. And it the car is amazing. It's truly a character. It has all the bells and whistles, and people react to it, I think, like it's a living, breathing thing. I've seen people really, you know, when they see the DeLorean, they want to go and touch it and look inside at all the bells and whistles and sit inside.
Sure. Yeah.
You have to be careful, though, because, as you know, the door opens up. And many times I've gotten out and stood right up and hit my head right on the door. It doesn't open like a regular car to the side. It's up, and you forget, and boom, you hit your head. So
ouch.
Careful.
So are the improvements, and again, Don, you and I go back a little bit further with theater, but do you remember in Phantom of the Opera, which I saw back when it opened, and you know, the chandelier coming on the stage, that was amazing for the theater. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, not too long ago. So there are moments in theater where people go, oh my goodness, the effects. From what you are saying, it sounds like that was then, this is now.
I guess if we're going to stick with the car metaphors, those are the Model T's, and we're in the we're in the Ford Lightning. What do they call it?
I don't know cars. You're on your own.
I don't know. I can't help you either.
The
Mini Cooper of today's.
Mini Cooper. Yeah, exactly. You know, the DeLoreans were not a great car. And Bob told me the whole story, how they ended up picking it. He just thought it looked cool, sort of like a spaceship. They had a few other contenders. The DeLoreans never really ran very well, and there's not that many of them left. So he was really picked because of the way that it looked and nothing else. And then the guy, you know, John DeLorean had all sorts of troubles and in his life, and the company was shut down. So there's very few left. They never ran great, but they become iconic because of this movie.
I love it.
Well, and I just wanted to say, you mentioned Chitty Chitty Bang Bang as another example. I can't remember exactly when that debuted, but like Don was saying, it made it to the West End, Back to the Future did, post-COVID. So we are dealing with special effects that are like full cutting edge, and like every single side, like technical aspect, the lighting, the sound, the props, the set is all working in tandem to really make this a really special experience. So,
wow. Kaden, you'll be in this run for quite a while, but I'm curious because, again, is this one of, you know, your first major sort of breakout national tour? Is this the kind of thing you want to do in the future? Are you the next Michael J. Fox in terms of the projects you like to do? Or are you saying, oh no, when I'm done with this, it's Pacino. I'm going to do Ta. I'm going to be De Niro. I'm, you know.
You're really giving me some easy places to shoot for it. That's the feeling I had inside when you said the next Michael J. Fox. I was like, no, I could never. No, I love. I have a great love for comedy, and I was doing a lot of comedic things back in New York before this happened. Just performing comedy and just performing whenever I could. So I'm just happy to be here. I would love to continue doing comedy. I'd also love to kind of, you know, try something different and do a little more of the dramatic side of things. Just really, I don't know. I have a real love for performing and just the art of it. So I'm
just getting energy from you. We've not seen the last of you, man. We're gonna be seeing a lot of you as the years go on.
He's eventually gonna play Doc. I think he's gonna take over as Doc as years from now. And at my memorial service, he'll speak and he'll say, "Now that I've taken over the role of Doc Brown, I just want to pay tribute to my old friend."
And
yeah. No, this kid is amazing. You see him out there. He never leaves the stage. He doesn't break a sweat. He sings like some
That's a lie.
God. He dances. He's acting. He's amazing. And he does it all in one breath. I think he takes one sip of water at the beginning of the night and then he just goes. He's like amazing.
You've got me all excited. Back to the Future is going to be playing until September 1st, August 13th until September 1st. Do not miss it over at the Niederlander Theater. I can't wait to see you guys there. Thank you for tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. I appreciate it. Have a great time in Chicago. Welcome home to both of you because you know this city. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. I hope you come and see the show.
Oh, I will.